scump prasa.
That's our intro. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bicycle Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Raz.
And I'm Jody.
This is the second time we started this recording. Our batteries died.
Batteries or pop juice.
Yeah, but this thing is cack, man. It doesn't show you when the batteries are running low.
Yeah, in our defense, it said full power and then no power.
Just so imagine
the ESCOM model.
Yeah, like the load shedding, but without like the notify. You didn't know it was load shedding.
Yeah, like before ESCOM Sapush.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out ESCOM Sapush if you want to sponsor us.
No, please don't. That happened to us, happened to me the other day. I had no idea it was load shedding because Abby didn't tell me.
Damn it, Abby.
Excuse me?
Producer of the podcast and Ross's life.
Yeah. I'd probably be dead even in the ditch. Miss all my appointments. But yeah, it just slats you out of nowhere and you're like, yes, sis.
What do I do now for two
I didn't
and a half
plan.
Hours?
My phone.
It really sucks if you haven't planned for it and now it's like, what am I going to do for 2.5 hours?
Yo, like last night, it was supper time and we ordered food and the driver pulled up behind and I was like, yo, my bro, how do you navigate when it's so dark? And he's like, yo, they have to do something. I'm like, yo, just stay alive.
Their lives are at risk.
Yeah, it was pitch black. But anyway, on that note, let's get into the news.
Our wear, news and shorts.
Tyler Perry. Yeah. You know this man of Madea fame?
Well, yeah. Unfortunate Madea fame, but also has his own studio.
No, I mean...
Powerhouse of note.
His Rags to Riches story is crazy. He was homeless. I think he was blowing guys for like burgers or something. I'm joking. That's
McDonald's or Burger King?
Abby's face... No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, he was like living in his car, he was homeless and shit. And then he created those characters and now he owns a studio.
First black-owned studio ever.
Yes, it's,
ever.
It's a pretty dope story. One day they'll probably make a movie about his life.
Do you think he'll star in it himself?
Of course.
Cast himself back.
Of course. No, he will actually like put on prosthetics. To be the actor that is playing himself.
That was a good idea.
That's what he'll do.
That's a very good
but
idea.
But until we get that, he is busy with Sister Act 3.
Yo, Abby.
joyful, Abby, joyful.
This joyful. Is coming up for a while.
Joyful. Look, you and I both love Sister Act.
Love it.
And Whoopi Goldberg has been in the public eye because she's on that show.
The View,
yes, where women talk at each other. No, I'm just kidding. I don't watch the show, but every time I see clips of it, it's just them talking at each other.
It's not engagement.
No, they're not.
It's warfare.
It's McCain's daughter. She anyway. Let's not get into that. No. John McCain. The inventor of McCain's frozen food. No, he's
not. Oh, wow. No, you see, when you talk at each other.
Yeah. No, he's an American politician. But Tyler Perry, who's helming this film, says it will honor the first two movies.
Which is reassuring because I think Abby's concerns are legitimate. Tyler Perry's movies are not necessarily all that great. You know, no. There's about five too many Madea films. Are you okay?
I haven't seen one of them.
Of the Madea Falls?
Nothing.
I've only come into them at like an hour in. And then I stay for a minute and then I leave. Just to confirm.
But people love it, eh?
Those movies are successful, dude.
Yo, but not only in the States. I mean, I know quite a few people who love those films.
I don't know anyone.
Hello.
Hello. Oh my God.
One of the best moves, well, not the best moves, but I thought it was a cool move from him, was when in another film, they sort of parodied that he was making a Madea horror movie.
Oh, is it that Madea film?
Yeah, and then he actually made it.
Oh, Lord.
He was like, you know what? You want to make fun of me? I'll fuck
I'm going to do it.
But Whoopi Goldberg's back, like you said.
Everyone's back.
Lauryn Hill.
No.
I mean, okay, then the not original, everyone's back.
The OGs.
Yeah, the OG nuns.
Yes.
They're back. I hope they're all doing well.
Yeah, I mean, what's her name still alive?
Maggie
Smith.
Smith, yeah.
Yes, she's still alive and she's back apparently.
Yo, that woman.
She's just like, how old is she now? 90 something.
Shit, I don't know, eh?
She is the truth.
She could be 70, or you know me in age.
Yeah, no. Keanu Reeves is 70. Yeah, Maggie Smith is currently, she was born 1934. So that's like 88. Yeah, she turns 88 in December this year.
Ainaka paina. 28 of December. But the oldest woman in South Africa, like over 120 years old.
Donor.
Oh, wait. 24. Yeah, she got a new ID. She got a new ID before me.
Does her ID start with one?
Yeah.
Do you remember that Simpsons joke with Mr. Burns' ID was like his social security number was like 00000002. He was the second oldest person.
I don't remember it, but that is quite funny.
I'm really just hoping that they, as he's saying, that they'll stay faithful to and honor the first movies, because those are iconic. We love iconic, them. Yeah.
And I actually hope the music is dope.
Yeah. I mean, what, are they going to have another younger generation coming through? And they can't
even
have the oldest.
Younger side. Generation. Oh my God. No, but the issue with that is...
TikTok videos.
Non-Gen Z writers can't write Gen Z properly.
No, they can't.
And it always comes across as like, yeah, you're out of touch.
Yes. It's like we were watching the show yesterday and people kept referring to millennials in the show. But they were just talking about young people. And I'm like, do you guys know what generation millennials are? Like, do you know what the definition? Come dine with me. The South African one.
Yeah,
they
don't
fully
understand.
So the older people were talking about the only young person there, and they're like, millennial. And yeah. She also, as a 19-year-old, thinks that she's a millennial now. I'm like,
no, she's not.
Do you guys know where millennials fit in the scale? Because you're not getting this right. Problems. Anywho, I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited for this movie.
Hello, let's go. Top Gun Maverick. I did not even... fucking know this movie was going to be made, and then I just heard the announcements and shit. And you know, you hope that when they do a sequel that is taken what 20 odd years, huh?
Legacy sequels,
yeah, legacy
once
sequels.
It reaches a certain threshold of years past,
now you hope that it's good enough and whatever. But it recently was shown at Cannes,
yes,
and it got a 5-minute standing ovation.
Tom Cruise was brought to tears.
Yeah,
he was. They
which I didn't know was possible. I thought they got rid of that.
It's during the Scientology,
yeah, conversion.
Yeah, no, they clearly are like unconverting. At
Cannes. No,
it's a reversion,
which is weird for an actor.
Yeah,
but
helps you run faster.
He's the best though. He's the best runner.
He has the ultimate sprint.
Yes, he's got it. His knees get so lekker high.
But
also,
those pointy fingers.
Yeah,
cuts through the air.
He's fast, man. Like he's really.
Yes,
he does look like he's fast.
Yeah,
He's actually sprinting. He broke his leg with that shit.
Yes, and just carried on.
He did carry on because of the thetans.
You don't show pain.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, 5-minute ovation. The reviews for this, like the stuff that's coming out,
positive, eh?
Everyone's like, it's better than the first one. How long have we waited for this? It's been delayed since 2020.
Yeah.
Hey, it was going to come out in the year that COVID started. They were actually planning on releasing it, and they just kept pushing it out. And
can I ask you something, though? I mean, I know that's already a question. I hate it when people do that. I shouldn't do that. Do you think Tom Cruise is like the last
movie star?
Big movie star?
Yeah, there's no one else right now. I think Meryl Streep has a lot of prestige associated with the name as still a current actor. But
yeah.
Tom Cruise, in terms of box office wow factor, I think he's the last of that generation.
But not only that, just the way he talks about movies, man, and making movies.
Yeah, it's still an event.
Yeah, it's still a thing for him, and he cares. I mean, you should care about your audience, but he like really cares about the experience that people have at the cinema.
Yeah.
And it comes across in like every interview that he does.
And also, he seems to have made a conscious decision to focus on epic now.
Yeah.
He doesn't do smaller scale movies anymore, no. Really. There's no like Vanilla Skies or anything coming from him more.
But it's fine because he keeps pushing out great films.
Yeah. I mean, this Top Gun, the training that the guys had to go through, even by the actors who are not in actual, they're not flying jets themselves, all of the actors, right? Well, but he still made them go through the training. Tom Cruise is.
Yeah.
They couldn't get the proper jet, but he is flying a jet.
He's flying a jet.
And he still, everyone went through the training. He gets that buy-in from his whole cast. So everything just feels authentic.
Yeah.
So everyone's
but
doing
that's
training.
Why, I mean, say what you want and how crazy he is, but you talk to anyone who has worked with him. I mean, not you personally. I mean, in interviews.
We do sometimes, you know. I mean, we've been interviewed in a newspaper. Ross,
that's
famous.
True. IOL, baby. Check it out. But if you watch interviews and you see anyone who has worked with him, they fucking love working with him.
Yeah, because he sets the tone, right?
100%.
He doesn't ask anything of anyone else that he doesn't do himself.
Yeah, and even the stuntmen.
With the training, the safety training that they did with the original Top Gun, he had everyone do it now, like how to escape a jet that's crash landed in water and stuff.
Nice.
And he didn't have to do it again. And he's like, no, I'm doing everything with you guys.
Yeah.
So if I ask you to do it, I'm doing that same shit.
Yeah.
So everyone goes through it. And because he's leading, they willingly do it.
Yes. I just wish he leaves that church, man.
Yeah.
Like he said, I really want to love him.
That's the character flaw that
I really want to
At least with him, we know what's there.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's not like with the others where we're waiting for shit
like
to go
Will
wrong.
Smith, you're not sure about also. But yo.
Like he gives like his all.
Yeah.
You can tell
he's you feel it, yes.
But then you get people like Jared Leto that you think they
give. I just thought of Italian Jared Leto.
Did you watch it?
No, I
did you watch House of
Gookie?
No, I didn't watch
House of Gookie.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's bootleg Gucci. So it's like, it's a House of a Gookie. Hello, it's me, Jared Leto. I'm in the House of a Gookie.
Sorry, Doxy. Doxy's also with us. We didn't introduce
him. Yeah, Noxy's here. Napulous. That's a whole other story. read my blog if you want to hear that. It's a parenting blog for an aging Jack Russell.
Very niche. Very specific.
It's called, should I call it quits? No. Never. That's the answer.
Yeah, that's my blog.
No, Knoxville, we're going to download his consciousness onto a flash drive and see how long we can push it.
I mean,
for 24 years, we saw one dog that lived... Yeah, still alive. 26, yeah.
Easy.
That's what we're aiming for. We're going to panel beat you, bruh. So Top Gun Maverick, I am excited to watch it. Maybe we can do a versus
IMAX.
Episode on that.
We've got to do that at IMAX.
Okay.
Yeah. And we do a versus for depths.
It does have the best seats and sound. Tom Cruise. Jerry Bruckheimer. He gave us some of the best movies on the world, in the world, around the world, too.
And out of this world.
Yes, out of this world. I mean, he was like he is though, well, not so much anymore, but like the blockbuster action adventure sci-fi guy, whatever.
The go-to director for
that. Well, the producer.
Producer, yeah, sorry.
No, don't apologize. It's fine.
If I'm wrong, I gotta apologize, man.
So everybody's wondering about pirates. The fucking case, the court case, Johnny Depp, easy, won't he, will he, where's he?
I thought you meant those people who sail off the coastline.
The Somalian pirates.
The actual pirates.
Well, I do wonder about that sometimes.
Yeah, I'm the captain now.
Look at me. But I'm not worried about that at this moment because I'm worried about the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which it tapered off for me. It wasn't the best, and it didn't
have
the...
They put up severely.
Yeah. The first one is amazing.
Yes.
Second one is also not bad, actually.
First one completely holds up. I think 2 and 3 are still serviceable. Like, I didn't mind.
Yeah, 4 was on dog
just
shit.
Just why?
Yeah, 4 was dog shit. But there's only one person who can play Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
In many people's opinions.
I think he's the character.
But now things are not looking so good.
Well, this relates to a previous news item where we gave the... What's going to happen with Johnny Depp, where we had that discussion, eh? Because we were saying, you know, depending on his current trial,
yeah,
is he going to get back into Hollywood? Is he not? And there, Jerry Bruckheimer comes out and says, basically, well, we'll see how things go.
Yeah. Well, his exact quote was, there are two Pirates of the Caribbean projects at the moment. One is with Margot Robbie and one isn't.
Yes. And the isn't is Jack Sparrow. That's the implication. And I feel really shit for Margot Robbie because her project, her Pirates project was announced over a year ago at this point that she was going to carry on the franchise.
Yeah.
That was pre Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's trial that they had said they actually don't want to carry on with Jack Sparrow.
They'd
be like, the character's done. And now her character, now whatever they had planned for her, it's probably contingent on how much public support Johnny gets after the trial.
Which he's getting a lot, man.
Yeah, all the momentum's on his side. So it looks like we're getting another Jack Sparrow.
I know, but I mean, Margot Robbie, at least she's got like the Barbie coming out. Yes. And she's busy.
Yeah,
and I don't see anyone playing Harley Quinn. Other than this point.
Yeah, she owns that character as much as what Johnny Depp owns the Jack Sparrow character.
But do you care about Jack Sparrow?
No. I did with the first.
No, of course. But I mean now, like right now, as you sit here looking at me.
Not invest now.
In your jawling outfit.
You know. That's Kunchis.
Yo, listen, guys, I know this is an audio podcast, but Jody looks good today,
thanks, man.
Took
a photo and everything.
Everything. Took a photo with this man. Hey, Lexus, a nut cut up a varma duck.
Shout out to Alfred. You must know, but Kunchis. No, I'm going to West End.
Oh, my God. You're showing your age there, bitch.
Oh, yeah. But Kunchis at West End.
No, that's over.
The mummies are going
to
go.
You're there to clean house.
Clean house, man. Nay, can you see? I just move my hips in circles, man.
That's the move. That's what gets the ladies.
No, Abigail. Thrusting is back and forth.
No,
I'm talking about full
circles. Showing it's the talk. Mm. You see, it's that's a misconception. Thrusting is actually like not a natural movement.
Yeah.
It's the circular motion. That's where the power is.
Yes.
Are we talking about
core?
It's the same thing
all
to me.
Things. It's all a tango, it's baby. The same Jerry Bruckheimer.
Jerry Bruckheimer. We'll see what happens with Margot Robbie, Johnny Depp, Captain Sparrow, and Jack Sparrow. Wait, which character is Margot Robbie playing?
New character. Completely new character, which they haven't even, like, there's no details of her script.
Yeah.
That's how much they're holding it back. They don't want anyone to get excited.
She's crying, man. She'll be crying on anything.
Yep.
John Watts. Director of Spider-Man.
Thank you.
Trilogy.
I was going to say, I don't think people know when you say the name so confidently. No one knows who that is.
He's the director of the latest Spider-Man trilogy.
Yes.
With Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Look, I love
Tom. You're going to have to stop doing this at some point.
No, he's going Dutch because his surname's Holland.
Mm.
So he was queued up to direct the Fantastic Four film.
Yeah, when Marvel did their last big announcement of movie slates, he was the director attached to it.
Yeah, which I think he could have done a good job, but now he's exited that project.
Yeah, he's got superhero fatigue.
I would think so, bruh. Yes, sirs. I mean, he did three successful movies, and where, spoiler alert, where No Way Home ended, there is definitely another movie coming.
Yes, there's a perfect jumping off point for what we think will be the most exciting Spider-Man version of Spider-Man put to film.
Now where?
So
with his homemade suit.
Yeah.
So John Watts is not doing that film because he was lined up to do Fantastic Four, which is Marvel's first family, but now he has departed that, and I get it, bruh.
These
big budget films, they make you moch, man.
That's the right decision, and also it stops you from pursuing any of your other passion projects. I think he's got a couple lined up that he
is it? What other movies has he done?
I can't remember what
quickly.
Else. No, I can't. That's not going to happen.
We
did have the tab open.
We're organic, though, so we go with conversation first and then research afterwards.
We find our flow, Abigail.
It's not about unprepared. It's jazz, baby.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
So, he's done... So, his notable work, Ross, is Clown, Cop Car, and then Spider-Man films. He's also done music videos. Do you want to find out? Do you want to find out a little bit more about Clown and Cop?
No, I was just going to say, maybe you should do a superhero movie, my man. Maybe stick a, get away from
you. But there are projects that he has lined up that he's going to go and work on. Because obviously, being successful, now you get opportunities. One of the films he's got lined up is a George Clooney and Brad Pitt project.
Ooh, so, Ocean's 15.
Yeah. Deep Ocean.
There is actually another. Okay, this isn't part of the news, but there's another Ocean prequel in the
world. With Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah, let's watch all the oceans. The Atlantic, the
Pacific.
The Pacific.
Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, but which ocean? The Pacific Ocean. Which ocean?
I can't be any more Pacific than that, Ross. Yo, that's a bugbear of mine, eh? I specifically said,
okay. Well, I Atlantically answer.
Oh, the other project he's lined up for is the next Final Destination movie.
Oh, shit.
Apparently, there's another one in the works.
Oh, my goodness. This is kismet.
It is.
Because we have some plans with that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some
possibly.
Shit out. Yeah.
So, John Watts, sure. But then I want them, if he does, well, he has departed, I want him to replace him with someone who gets that core family idea. And that, you know what I mean? Because that's what they are. They are a family. And
there's a couple
Josh Trank did not get that.
No. I mean, no. As much as he wants to still get his director's cut out there.
Nah, no. But the studio also, it's a different studio.
Yes, very different.
That should get the characters.
We assume. Mm. But there are a couple of people I've attached to the project.
Is it? Like who?
Well, the one obvious one is the person that everyone wants to play Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
John Krasinski was attached as potential director and lead actor for the series. And then the other person is Ron Howard's daughter.
Yeah.
Is it Dallas Bryce?
Lil Howard.
Bryce Dallas. Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah. Lil Howard. Sister to Lil, what's his name? The comedian.
Lil Rail. Lil Rail Harry.
Yeah.
No, so she is really coming up as a good director.
Yes.
She's directed the best Mandalorian episodes of the last season.
Yes. Did she not also direct her episode of... what's that? That series, the tech horror series on Netflix. She was in that episode where you review each other.
Black Mirror.
Didn't she direct that episode?
No, because the guy does it.
The guy who
it's
created
it. It's one guy who does
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought she might have directed the episode, but yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard, I'm watching her career
but
closely.
Yes,
because
Mandalorian
I'm sure she's got a Star Wars thing lined up.
Could be. I think that's why people are associating her with bigger projects now like this, because she's kind of building a resume.
I would not mind seeing her. She like her Mandalorian episodes are fucking class, bro.
And that world, we love that world that was created.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I would be totally down with that. I think if John Krasinski is in the Fantastic Four movies, if he is going to be Reed Richards, I wouldn't want him to direct.
Do you think his wife will join?
She said vehemently no, that she doesn't want to, but it would be so perfect.
Yes, sis, come on. They are, I've watched them in interviews. They are amazing together.
Yeah, I mean, but can you really replace Jessica Alba?
Yes, you can. Abby doesn't like Jessica Alba.
Another way.
Yo, she can't fit another way.
Woo.
Anyway, let's go another way with that.
Yeah.
Robert Battenbat and Matt Reeves are returning for Batman sequel. Did we think anything else was going to happen?
I don't know why it was even up in the air. I mean, so much setup was done for the future of that series.
But you never know. It's confirmed. Exactly. I mean, it's all about money. Mm-hmm. And whether the movie made money or not, and it did make enough money, and I think the critical acclaim also helped.
Yeah, the critical acclaim was across the board. I think I've seen no negative reviews for this. And
well, I mean, I did see a couple of tweets where people were just not my Batman.
Okay.
But it's, you know, the Snyder people, man.
Yeah.
That Snyder cult.
Ben back.
Yes.
I want my Benny back.
He's done, Brad. Like, leave him. He's got J-Lo now.
Yeah, he's moved on. He got to be with Ana de Armas in a movie the other day. So
I didn't watch it. It doesn't look great. Oh, Dark did you watch Waters. It?
No. I've just, the reviews have been, they've scared me off.
Man, it's good. But yeah, I'm happy. And I knew it was coming. And yeah, I'm excited.
Who do you think they're going to lean towards for villains in this one? I hope it's not
Joker. We're going to see the rise of Penguin.
Penguin series is also must
come. Yeah, we're going to see the rise of Penguin. And I think...
keep the Hannibal Lecter vibes going.
I don't want Joker to be a thing.
Yeah.
I want to see some Robin action.
Yes, that would be...
Like what?
What do you cast as a Robin? In
just bring back Dingus, Chris O'Donnell.
He's not busy.
He looks the same.
NCIS is back. It's on a break.
Ryan Reynolds
was not anyone.
He's older than Robert Pattinson.
He's also a bit beefy for Robin. Ryan Reynolds is a bit beefy.
Yeah, you need someone. You need someone that's svelte who can do acrobatics.
Yes.
Tom Holland.
The young Tom Holland. He really could have pulled it off.
He really could have pulled it off. He's a short king and he can do flips.
Flexi. He can do like all the jumpy jumps. He would have pulled it off. Get Tom Holland to do it.
But okay, canonically in the comics, Robin is one of the best looking DC characters.
Yes, especially when he becomes Nightwing.
Because that guy fucks.
Stunning.
No, I mean, like he fucks.
He's just a love machine.
Yeah. And he no work for nobody but Ben. Oh, babe. Does Tom Holland fit that bill? I mean, he's cute.
Zendaya, I think so.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, he's not like...
What about Harry Styles?
Harry Styles already...
He's in the Marvel Universe.
He's in the Marvel Universe now. But Tom Holland is too.
Tom Holland is in the Marvel Universe. And I'm sure he can play a Robin. Hello, Mr. Wayne. It's me.
Tom Holland.
Dick. Sony announced that they are going to do a Venom and Ghostbusters sequel. So is Ghostbusters now in the Venom universe?
Yeah, it's a crossover.
Look, considering those emails that leaked beforehand, this could be a possibility.
Entirely in the realm of possibility. Honest to God, don't leave franchises with Sony.
No.
They will find a way to fuck it up. Just don't.
Just stick to headphones.
That's Sony. All.
Yeah, after seeing Ghostbusters, I get it. The movie made money and it was critically acclaimed.
Yeah, I loved it. I really enjoyed it.
I also enjoyed it.
As one of the better use of nostalgia in these legacy style sequels, it was really, really good.
Yeah. Fan service and versus pandering, you know?
Exactly. So same thing.
And then Venom. What can we say about Venom? Mm.
There'll definitely be less Woody Harrelson in the sequel. No wigs, no Woody.
I don't understand why this franchise is so popular.
Yeah, the first movie was...
It can't just be Tom Hardy.
It was crazy and it was fun. The second movie was just a mess. And I don't know where they go with the third movie because they've now divorced themselves from the MCU.
Yeah.
While Marvel divorced them from the MCU.
Are we going to watch Morbius?
I'm not that excited to see it. You want the Leto Fest,
the House of a Gookie, and Morbius.
Imagine he just started switching between guys.
It's me, the living vampire, Morbius. No, I don't know if I can take that much Leto, eh?
No, do you know how much is too much Leto? Any Leto.
Any Leto, yeah, because fuck that guy. But, so we'll see.
When did the Leto...
It's like Ross says, man. At some point, he managed to convince people that he's a good actor.
Mm. Well, the Oscar doesn't hurt.
Yes. And, I mean, Dallas Buyers Club, he's really good in that role.
Yeah. And, I mean, I first saw him on the scene back in the
Hostage.
No, before that. He was in a show called My So-Called Life with Claire Danes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, now you remember your old Nias. So that's where you first saw him. And then I remember my sister had a moose crush on him back then.
Yo, I cannot remember him from that.
So that's the first time I saw him, and then after that you saw like his forms, and then 30 Seconds to Mars. So I think it's just a matter of like him being successful in his career and then believing his own hype.
Yes.
And becoming the living meme that is, but also it's predatory at the same time, yeah. You know? So,
and the cult leader, so fuck yeah, him.
Fuck him and fuck his whole career. I hope he... Look, he's got a string of bad films now.
Yes.
So I hope that convincingly continues.
Bad. Yeah.
Where they're like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't hire him.
Cult of character only goes so far.
I think he just nailed the auditions, man.
And then
he goes tarty after that.
And then once they like a certain way into the film, they're like, we've made a mistake, but we spent too much money.
Yeah, we spent too much money. We're too far in production. Because he's like, I'm sure like in House of Gucci, he was just like, it's me. Jared Leto. I am an Italian man. And then they were like, you've got the part. And then they give him the part and he's like, hello, you want the pizza pie? House of a Gucci, want to make a Gucci? I think that's what he does. And it's like the epitome of
at
like...
At which point they were like, he signed a contract. So it's the Stockholm syndrome. That's basically his thing. Like, just God,
that has to be the only reason he still gets in work.
It's pretty, yeah. That sound reasoning on your part. I'm 100% think that's what happened.
Fucking Jared Lee. It's time for... What do we call this again?
Quick news,
rapid news. This is where we run through some news stories, and this is really a game to see if Jody can say less. That's all this is about.
I did so well with the last one.
No, you did horribly. Until the final one. So this.
Yes. Go.
Wait, so I'm going to hit you with some headlines, and then we're going to get your initial reactions. Jody, keep it short, keep it light, and keep it honest.
I will.
So the Toxic Avenger remake starring Peter Dinklage gets an R rating for gore and graphic nudity.
Graphic nudity, we're going to see his penis.
You think so?
Yeah. You don't get graphic. What else is graphic?
Wow. I mean...
I'm all in. Please go watch the original trailer for the old one.
Yeah, watch the original trailer for Toxic Avenger. I am also all in. And
next news item.
We're going to see penis. Jack Harlow has landed a new role in White Men Can't Jump reboot.
Not my Woody Harrelson.
Jack Harlow is so hot right now, and I think his music is underwhelming.
Yeah, 100% agree.
But you, not my Woody Harrelson, you're
not
right.
Not my Woody Harrelson.
If he can't jump, that's already a strike. But I think that was part of the audition.
Exactly. Not my Woody.
Kevin Spacey is working again.
Fuck Kevin Spacey.
Wow. What
he got work.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's a bad person. He's like a predator.
Yeah, fuck Kevin Spacey.
Bill Murray accused of misconduct on Aziz Ansari film.
I don't know what's happening there. So many stories. I hope people are treating each other well.
So he said in an interview that it was a joke that was not taken well. And and
he mansplained.
Well, he said he thought it was funny and the other person did not think it was funny.
Hope we can work together.
But it's now under investigation and the movie is on pause.
Please treat each other well.
Treat each other well. Bad Boys 4 still going ahead despite Will Smith slapping the shit out of Chris Rock.
Sony was like, fuck that, we want that money.
Well, if you think about it, he does a whole lot of violence in that film, so it's fitting.
They perpetuate it. Let's keep going.
And that's it for our rapid fire. Woo! You did very well.
So well.
Very well. I'm sure we missed some things.
Okay. All I care about is the affirmation that I did well.
You did very well, Jody. I'm super proud. Of you. If only all our conversations could be like...
Imagine how quick the podcast would be.
We'd get more listens for sure.
That's true.
Sec, it's time for a review.
So this week, we decided we need to do a South African film.
Yes, right.
You and I threaten many things.
We do.
We've threatened to make a good podcast, which we still haven't done. We've threatened to cover more local content, which we are now doing.
That's true.
So we are finally delivering.
Is threaten the right word?
I like it, and I'm using it. That's my adjective of choice.
My coffee is cold.
So it's also Africa Month, and Netflix and a whole lot of other production companies and just platforms have been pushing African content.
Mm.
So we thought we'd jump on that bandwagon, and we are reviewing Silverton Siege.
Yeah, us being African as well.
Of course. I mean... Hashtag Africa's a country.
And the front page of Apple Podcasts, Africa. This is Africa.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Sang by a Colombian. Because this is Africa.
That's as African as it gets. Anyway, Silverton Siege, directed by Mandla Walter Dube and starring Tabura Metsi, Stephen Erasmus, Nicolo Dlamini, Arnold Vosloo, Justin Strydom, and Ilani Dekker. She was boring. Okay, I have a very short description for this. It says that after a failed sabotage mission, a trio of anti-apartheid freedom fighters end up in a tense bank hostage situation.
Nice.
That's... Keep it short, keep it sweet, keep it tight.
Keep it tight, keep it oit, keep it a googie. So...
I've never done
long. I know. No, that's going to be our catchphrase.
Keep it gooky.
Keep it gooky. So, yeah, that's pretty apt. Story-wise, this is based on a true story, Jody.
Yes. There were four people actually part of the actual hostage situation, but they've kind of, made it three.
Yeah, well, not only... They changed a lot.
Yes.
The names of the characters and the events that actually happened.
Yeah, so the based on actual events, what do they say?
This is based on true... It's not... It's a lot has been changed.
It's a reference
for
point.
For dramatic...
Yeah.
They give like what? Yeah, because it's the thing in the beginning, the blurb, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like when the Coen brothers with Fargo say, this happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're just using some creative license here. But for the most part, I think, generally speaking, the setting and stuff is,
I think that's about it. I think they just like this event, and we're going to make a movie on this event, and the rest we're going to mess around with.
Yes. They took their creative license.
That's a broad license, but let's get into it. What do you want to talk about?
So first of all, this movie is very polished, eh? Like I read up afterwards that the director Mandla Walter Dube is still a cinematographer too.
Yeah, so you can tell.
Like the attention
it's
to detail,
slick, man.
It's
slick. Like the costume design, the props. Where do they find all those cortinas?
I was astounded by that.
It's like you
in mint condition.
Yes, all of them. Did they go to the Ford Car Club?
They must have, because the number of cortinas, like you said, attention to detail in this movie it's immaculate.
Yeah,
like I was kind of looking out for any flaws.
No, they even had that the orange domed telephone booth.
Yes.
And I was like, yo, that's
the payphones.
Yeah.
Every single thing, like the shop names.
The police uniforms as well.
Yeah, everything was down.
It's an apartheid hotel.
And interestingly, when Jen lived in Pretoria for like a year when she started her master's, she was in Silverton.
She was in the bank.
Yeah, she was in Silverton in 1980. But she lived in Silverton. So that's why I felt like, I could try and look out for things that were maybe like...
Wait, did you go visit her?
Yeah.
Yo?
Way back when.
Book farm, my bro?
Yeah, bro.
What?
Strand to Pretoria.
Someone must take a whole airplane.
For the love.
Yeah.
Now you can't even get me to walk from the lounge to the bedroom.
That's true, love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like the... At some parts even looked like Cape Town at some point.
Yes.
I was like, yo.
But really, attention to detail and...
Cinema, it was so slick. It was like an American film.
It really was.
Nah,
very
was,
high in production.
What was the budget for this?
I couldn't find that info, but...
Really?
But we've spoken about Netflix and how the money that they are throwing at South African projects...
Yeah.
You really are starting to see it with how high end the end products are becoming with South African movies. This to me it almost bordered on too polished because I felt like with the setting I wanted more grainy.
Listen,
also,
Jody, we'll get into it. I know it's loosely based on actual events.
Yes,
but given the history of this country, the weight that this event has versus the film. I do feel there's a slight disconnect there, as in the polished nature of it and the things that happen. And essentially, it's an action thriller.
Yeah.
But the true life story has way more
impact, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I have trouble connecting the two. But in the same breath, it makes sense because how else do we get movies made in this country, especially?
And get people to see movies because to a large degree in South Africa, there's a lot of political fatigue.
Yeah.
So if you were to focus on, you know, political and social impact of this what this event, I don't think you'd get buy-in.
Yeah.
But by selling this as a like this tense hostage thriller, it's, you know, it's a really good action movie. I mean,
well, essentially, that's what I want from South African film, is for them just to make what they want to make.
Exactly.
If you want to make an action thriller, make an action thriller.
I'll say right off the bat, for me, I got very strong influences of The Dark Knight with the opening. Very much like, you know, just opened up in the bank scene. So it was, like, to me, similar to the opening with the
Joker. I didn't necessarily like that, to be honest.
I
would have liked to see the build-up. A little more to ramp up
in
to
detail,
the intention.
To the tension.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to be brought in where they're like in the field, for instance.
Yes.
And
as
then,
the opening scene.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. But to me, I didn't mind that. But I also got very strong heat influence with...
Because it's hot in the country.
Yeah, I mean, Pretoria.
Yeah, we're subtropical.
Yeah, but Pretoria in summer is like a whole other region.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very hot.
No, why are there so many whites there then?
I don't know.
Sunblock must be selling through the...
SPF 25. But yeah, I really got very strong influences. And that touches on what you were saying of people doing what they want. Because clearly this director has been influenced by some really powerful movies,
yeah,
and he's incorporating that into what he's doing. So I'm like, I'm all for that. You know, fulfill your vision in whichever way you want.
100%.
Doesn't have to pander to certain things.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to tie historically into an event in this country.
Because do we have as much grief with an American film that very loosely bases itself on whatever?
No.
Trial of the Chicago 8, for example.
Yeah.
That they leave out the whole character, the most important character in Trial of Chicago 8, is not part of that movie's narrative, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't have as much blowback. So I don't think we should have it here either.
You're right. With the buy-in thing, would they have gotten the money if it didn't involve a true event?
And the audience.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm all for him using his creative license. Yeah,
I get it. I just think it's unnecessary that is required in order to make this film.
You, in fact, I would say that even if I didn't know this was a true story, it's still an interesting enough story on its own.
No, for sure.
I didn't have to connect to like actual events for it to be impactful.
Yeah,
and maybe that's another thing we need to cross with South African film is, even if it's a completely original thing, buy into it just because it's potentially a good movie. Not like it has to connect to something for you to want to see it.
Yeah.
So the movie links to the MK activists.
Nkonto Wesizwe
activists of the time, who they were on a disruption campaign within South Africa, right?
Yeah.
They wanted to impact on South Africa's infrastructure, stop things from functioning so that people could feel everyone's frustration.
100%.
And listen to them. So within this movie, their particular aim was targeting the petrol supply, disrupting that to the army and for the government to take notice of what they wanted.
Yeah.
But they've been betrayed.
Oh!
So many twists, eh?
There's a rat.
There's a rat.
Yappa, 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 yappa.
Mole, mole, mole. There are so many twists in this movie.
No, yes.
We have to reveal, like, post-spoilers, we'll go into it.
But yeah, there's a rat, and they are forced to, you know, go on a run with Cortina's chasing them. Cortina's chasing them, running through the CBD. There's a squirter clapping, pop, 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 pop.
And again, look, the car chases aren't extensive.
Yeah.
But the shooting scenes are so well choreographed and so well
done. I mean, they're slutting AKs, Brian. They're like, ta 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 in the streets. And it was a little satisfying for them to, like, stick it. I mean, they didn't want to kill civilians.
Yes.
So they ran into, like, these white areas and they just, like, clap a squirt. And it was fun to see the white people running away.
Yeah. Satisfying. But there is a strong influence. I mean, we just did that as a throwaway line, but the aspect of not harming civilians was integral to their mission as well.
Aware. So then they are forced to actually take hostages in a bank because they're kind of cornered.
The three protagonists of the movie have no alternative but to...
100%, because the one is killed. So that was one thing also, when that character is gunned down now in the chase. Yes. It happened so early that I didn't really care about it.
Yeah, there's no connection other than...
But I see that they wanted to push Tera, who is played by Nopolo. Yeah. Her motivations, like, later.
Yes, it's almost like that was just a bit of a plot device. Yeah. Having that character be so close to her, and then that being a driving factor for her motivations throughout the movie. But, I mean, I loved the portrayal of that character. Tera,
that's the thing,
like
everyone is good
legit.
Here.
Tera's legit, though.
Arnold, I don't know, I felt like he phoned it in a little bit.
Yeah, but...
And he's the vet.
Yeah, but also I don't know if he wanted the other characters to shine or if it was just phoning in, but he didn't have to. There's no real range of emotion or range of motivation for him.
Well,
he's
kind of
playing this middle ground. Yes,
yeah.
You know, he wants a peaceful thing. They have the line where he's like, you don't understand Afrikaans, but you call yourself South African. And it's, you know, it's supposed to connect us to the
Look, there's a lot of lines that are... It does feel a bit more modern.
Yes. Well, on that point, a question I have for you. They don't use the K word at all in this movie.
No.
Which obviously is not of its time. I mean, we can think what the language would have been like in that situation.
Mm.
How did you feel about that? Because I've been wrestling with it a little bit.
Who's winning?
In terms of what?
You wrestling with it.
Well, I'm always losing. I don't know who's winning.
Listen, I think it would have made it a bit more authentic for me.
Yeah.
I know the word carries so much weight, but if that is the point that you want to drive home, then maybe...
Of the reality of the time.
Exactly.
So, that's the one battle for me.
But
and the other side is that they're not glorifying it at all.
No.
In fact, they have totally... They've diminished it to the point that it's non-existent. I'm pretty sure they don't use it once in the entire movie.
No, they don't at all.
And... Part of me is like, you know, but maybe that's also a good thing, because you start, when you start oversimplifying a word's usage in movies and in other spaces, then the impact is also lost, much like the N-word within America. So there's so much like disgust around it because it's used in media, it's used in movies and
I know,
songs,
but I think in this instance, if they did use it, I think because it's not used so widely in this country,
it
would have hit.
It would have hit very,
it would have hit very hard.
Yes.
And it would have come out of, I think it would have hit me by surprise to actually hear it. Because I haven't, to be fair, which is a good thing, I haven't heard the word in a very long time.
Yeah, so that was what I've been thinking about is, do I want it in for the authenticity or... Am I also happy that they didn't even want to include it?
But it lessened the impact for me a little bit because they mentioned the, you know, them being black. And I was like, okay, it was a little diluted for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they wanted you to be a little more empathetic to Andre Forslund's character because he's trying to end it peacefully. But... In a real situation, in that real situation, I imagine
it would have been a lot more intense.
Because they were being hailed as the Black Terror. They were here to come and kill you. You know what I mean? And that's what white South Africans thought at the time.
Yep.
So all of them would have been like, "We have to fucking kill these K words." You know what I mean?
I think that the racism is shown in certain instances,
like
the
manager.
Bank queue, yes, there's stuff
and
like
the queue.
That. But then there's as generally speaking, race isn't really being brought in as much as what you would think for a movie of that time.
No.
So it's more around the hostage situation,
yes.
The action scenes, all of that is being highlighted versus the race thing. Again, within the South African context, there's an argument that that's refreshing because so much of our discussion is around race.
Sure, but a lot of it is based on the fact that you have a preconception that you understand the history of the country, right? And we understand it. So we can watch it through those lenses. But for other...
They don't have the context.
Exactly. Yeah. They don't have the context. If you go on the Netflix site and they're talking about this movie, there's literally like a section that says, what is apartheid?
Yeah.
And they explain what apartheid is. So if you come in without that context, it won't carry as much weight.
True.
Which is fine because he wanted to make an action thriller.
Yeah.
And it's an enjoyable action thriller.
I think for that category,
it really does succeed.
It does. I love the runtime. You know me.
Oh, 1 hour 40.
1 hour 40.
That's tight. The move.
Tight.
Yes. Yes.
I could start watching this movie late. And
I started watching it at 12 o'clock.
There's still time to sleep. So I love the runtime.
Yeah.
But that was really a testament to the fact that this movie starts off.
Look, it's a lot. There's a lot that happens in the
like
film.
You get right into it. Nah, there's no easing in really at all. It is within the first 10 minutes, we are right into the betrayals.
The deception, the action, the squirter. They did try, I think, to amp up the stakes a little too much for me.
Yeah.
We'll probably get into spoilers, but I mean, things happen, and then I was like, okay, I understand why you did it, but you didn't have to. The tension is already there. You didn't have to amp it up again. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I felt, and this is maybe something that we've seen in other South African films as well, where there are many storylines chucked into like a movie. You know, there's stuff within the bank going on. There's stuff.
There's a lot
outside.
Who is that American guy?
That guy does. He used to do the Lewis.
No, I know. I just don't know his fucking name. And he's been living in this country for ages.
Forever. He even does. You know how MMA fights here in South Africa, the EFC stuff? He's the announcer for EFC as well.
I'll find his name now.
I'm pretty sure it's Shane Wellington.
Yo, he was a caricature, that one, eh?
Yeah, with those sideburns.
The sideburns and a briefcase with the letter USA bedazzled on it.
In case you didn't know. Yeah, it's Shane Duke Wellington, and he goes by Shane the Duke.
Yeah, the Duke.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, he's been in South Africa forever.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he gets a lot of work.
Yeah, and there's that smile. Those guys, mega one smile.
I don't know what more you want to talk about before spoilers.
So storyline. In terms of the actual storyline, we've now had our back and forth around.
Yeah, I did a bit of reading on the actual story versus
what was played out. Yeah.
I think the choices that were made was the director wanting to make a certain type of film.
Yeah.
And more props to him.
I'm all for it. Yeah. And I think to also maybe explain to people that I don't think this is a spoiler, but the whole this movie,
I'll be the judge of that, Jody.
We'll retroactively pick it up. This movie actually is portraying the start of the Free Mandela movement.
Yeah, well,
the global movement.
This was hailed as the catalyst that, I mean, it happened 10 years later.
Yes.
But this was the first instance that started the ball rolling.
Yes, where people took note of it. Yeah. So we have essentially our kidnappers being like, well, what can we get out of this? Let's push for.
True change. That's why it's hard not to empathize with the struggle. And I mean, there was an interview with an actual person who was inside the bank, and they were singing freedom songs. And they actually got like the hostages involved in that. So the person that they interviewed said that it was hard not to relate to them and actually root for them in the end, because they weren't there for money.
Yeah.
They weren't there for anything else but to fight for the cause.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be portrayed, at least for us, as the audience now, by the Christine character and the minister. Who is that? Is it the Jacques Gombolt? I don't know.
What?
Yeah, Gombolt.
I know. I also have trouble with white names.
Yeah. You know, so many vowels.
Jacques Gombolt.
But I think they were supposed to be our throughway to that side of white people also started understanding what these people were fighting for.
Yeah.
You know, the hostage takers were fighting for you. So, interesting. Don't particularly care.
Interesting. Next.
The one thing that we can also say is that South African film in general has not really focused on these types of stories with regard to the struggle. Even if you bring that aspect in, there's always a lot of focus on Nelson Mandela and his life and you know, what he went through.
Yeah.
But
the smaller stories
are very unexplored, and to me, this is a very interesting way to look at it. Like, this is an interesting story in and of itself.
Yeah.
But to portray it as this action thriller is, it's new for me. It's not something that we've done.
Or like Escape from Pretoria.
Yes, the Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe, yeah. Film in Australia.
Yes. That's where they escape too.
Yeah.
When they leave Pretoria.
That was also quite a cool little story. I mean, would have liked to see South African actors do it, but okay. Yeah, you're right, 100%. I mean, there's so many. Imagine the amount of stories that haven't been told about the struggle. But then again, I want to see them do non-struggle films as well.
What did you think of our lead trio? You said earlier that...
I like the lead trio. Stefan?
Yeah. Erasmus.
Yeah.
Aldo.
Stefan, what does that mean?
His character's name is Aldo. Oh. It's not the gookie.
Like the shoes.
He's not the gookie. Yes, like the shoes.
I thought he made leather shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, Stefan was really good. Tabu, Rametsi, Calvin, he was really good. And then, like you said, Tara was like a terror. She was gangster.
Oh, with the guns and stuff. Eh? Like
The guns on her arms and her actual guns.
The guns on her arms and the guns that she shoots with.
She's flexing, bro.
She was really legit. There was an authenticity to them that I really liked.
Yeah.
As the movie, because we get right into it, I couldn't necessarily feel their bond initially, but as the movie progresses, you start.
I agree with that. Towards the end, you understand a bit more. I won't say it was fully successful, but in the end, you understand, okay. And obviously, the events of the end carries more weight.
Which I think we need to get into now.
Yeah, okay.
So, Kwai and I.
I'm going to say this was Kwai.
I'm Kwai. I'm on board.
It not only was it slick and well-produced and well-acted, I think it gives me hope for the future of South African cinema.
If these are the types of films that Netflix is going to pump money into with South African directors and actors, I'm behind it 100%.
Imagine like an action film, no? But like this bra fights in like traditional Zulu fighting style or whatever, and he just
with
moves
the shield
people, like
and
a
the
shield
spears,
and a knop kuyo, okay.
That would be dope,
right?
And why would we not incorporate that? Because in many other cultures, I mean, look at one of our favorite action movies of all time, The Raid.
The Raid.
They have completely incorporated those Indonesian styles of fighting into those movies.
Yeah,
you know, it's a style we've never seen before, that the world has never seen before, that has subsequently become very popular.
Yeah.
So why not do it with South African fighting as well?
Fuck, that would be amazing.
Let's write to Netflix.
Okay, so it's a Kwai for me. What
Double
is it for
Kwai.
You? Double Kwai.
Double Kwai from us. No, not from me. I give a Kwai. You give a Kwai. Together it is a
Double Kwai. Okay, Kwai. Let's get into spoilers.
Do we have our sound?
No, we don't. I'm buzzing.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
People die.
Yeah, Aldo dies.
Aldo dies, and I'm sure
all of them die.
Calvin and them die. Yes. Yeah, in the true story, they also die.
Yeah, as you get to a certain point in the film, you realize there's no happy ending.
Yeah, there's no getting.
There's
out.
No happy ending coming.
But it turns out that Stefan. And I don't trust Stephens.
No. It's the STFA.
Mm.
Stephen.
Yeah.
STEPHEN.
Yeah.
Much more trustworthy. But the Stephen.
Yes, that's never again.
Oh, they couldn't even get the consonants and vowels right, man.
Abby and I were actually toying with the idea of getting a Steffi.
Mm.
And I want to name it Steffi.
Like the ladies were looking for handkerchiefs with an E for Andrew.
Anyway, it turns out that Stefan was the mole because they got to his pregnant wife.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucked up, man.
Yeah, and I didn't expect Tara to like just cap that motherfucker
like
that.
No mercy.
Yeah,
as soon as she figured out that he knew the...
But that's where, because they killed her partner in the beginning.
The motivation that you discussed comes through.
And that pain just
eternally. The one actor that we haven't spoken about is Tumisho Masha, who I have not seen do anything forever.
And he's a South African all-star.
Yeah, and he is the most conniving sneaky.
Which is cool. I really like the introduction of that guy who's like, I'm bleeding you. I need to go to the toilet.
Yeah,
what's wrong with it?
But constantly irritating me.
Yeah.
It's like, break his nose with the thing. I'm lying here bleeding.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
Yeah, Tumisha Masha, and he looks good. He looks the fucking same.
I have not seen him
in years,
for years.
Oh, yeah.
And I wasn't sure it was him first. I was looking and I was trying to figure out, is that Tumisha? But yeah, he was, I really liked his character. He was a massive, like, curveball in terms of, because initially he's like, so the hostage takers, our protagonists, they want a helicopter, right? And the police are like, sure, helicopter, unarmed pilot, jazz. Brucey sticks eight. They search him. There's no gun on him. As soon as they get in the helicopter, he's got a gun either way. He tries to kill them. So,
but how many, like, even in the beginning, when they were betrayed in the beginning, I was like, yo, how many traitors do they have?
They were like at least
black
three
police people. Yes. Yeah.
There were at least three black people who were part of the police force trying to take these guys down. I was like, you know, even that is a very interesting thing that they could have explored a bit more.
Yeah.
Like the fact that people were choosing sides.
Yeah.
You know, either they are going with the freedom fighters.
Yabas.
Yes. Woo! Yabas.
But what did you think of the people inside the bank, the actual hostages? Were there any standouts for you other than Tumisha Masha?
What's her name?
The albino character.
Yes, Michelle Mosalakai. That's a very interesting character, but also an arc that I felt like was...
She wasn't included in the original script. So the director is, I think, friends with someone who has worked with her before, and her mother was always like saying, yeah, she really wants her daughter to shine because of her skin condition, she never gets roles and whatever. And then the director decided, okay, she's really, really good. I'm going to write her into the story.
Yeah.
And he thought it would be an interesting angle to have someone who is acting
loving the
white
life as a white person, but who's not.
Which was the case for a lot of people during that time.
Yeah, and I mean, albinism in South Africa is a whole discussion on its own. And that's why part of me is like, it's such an important story, but it forms a subplot within the hostage situation. Yeah. It's interesting, but I would almost want that explored in and of itself, what she went through.
Well, there's a movie that came out recently called Passing.
Yes.
Which is also based on a true story. Yes. Yeah. But Passing in South Africa has a whole different kind of dynamic to it.
Yes.
And I know, like, I have an auntie who was classified as white, and she married a white man and had white family. So that, I actually have personal experience with that, because we couldn't see them when I was a kid, really. And we only saw them afterwards. They were always the distant cousins that I knew existed, but we never really.
You couldn't have no access to them.
Yeah, it was a strange thing. So this did resonate with me a little bit.
Yeah. She's amazing in this role.
Yeah, she's good, yeah.
Even with the little time that she has, she's also a bit of
They start off as caricatures when they first meet them.
Yeah.
In the bank.
But I mean, as
a Duke doesn't make it better.
No, Duke. She was good, and with the little bit of time that she had, she conveys a pretty big character arc. And she's quite an important character in terms of moving the story along.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of important reveals happen because of her.
She discovers Tumisha Masha's body.
That he's been killed. Yeah. So,
what did you think of that? When Stefan stabbed him. I'm saying Stefan. His name is
Aldo.
Aldo.
So, that was also, again, like, so many twisty-twists.
It was a tad jarring.
Because it's like, Tumisha Masha's character is called Sichaba. He doesn't, according to him, know anything else. He doesn't know who the mole is. He doesn't know what was going on. But then we find out
that he does.
He does know who the mole is. And unless Aldo helps him, he's going to tell everyone
that he's the mole.
That he's the mole.
I know. I suppose it also made it easier for them to kill Aldo because he committed this crime, you know, and I understand why they did it. It just took me by surprise.
Yeah, look, it's like you said earlier, it's jarring.
Yeah.
Like, Tara does not fuck around.
Will Smith it. He's like, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. And then he stabbed.
I'm talking about Aldo. He stabbed him, comes up with a whole plot to make them think that he was attacked by him and everything.
Which was quick thinking on Aldo's part.
Very quick thinking. But yeah, but Aldo being killed later also is also just as...
Yeah, as jarring.
Like, Tara doesn't think about it. As soon as she figures out that Aldo's the mole, he gave it away by giving the captain's name too soon.
Yeah. Bah. What was cool is that she was heartbroken over it.
Yes. I want to go back to Calvin.
Go back. Let's go back.
What do you think about Calvin as the leader of those
guys? I really like him, man.
Charismatic as
That's the first time I see him in anything. What the fuck?
Okay. I also haven't... I haven't seen him in any other things yet.
Ah, he was good, man. He was damn, he was stressed. He was like dance. He was just the guy. I mean, quick thinking, adapting and stuff. And you could see there's that scene where he's in the bathroom and he's like, yeah, just give me a moment alone. Like yeah. He's telling
he smashes shit. The yeah, walls.
I was like really like into it. Nah, and, he was great.
And also just the it's that full scope, right? Everyone puts their faith in him.
Yeah.
But he goes through admitting to them that I got you guys into the shit. Yeah. I'm going to find a way to get us out.
Yeah.
And then realizing there is no way.
No out, yeah.
So all he can do now is aim for something bigger than them, which is the yeah. Free Mandela movement.
In terms of the music choices, what did you think of Johnny Clegg's classic while he burned the money? Oh, Nancy Pieza. Come on in, that song slaps, bro.
It does.
I don't know if it fit for the scene. Is it no, that but, again also?
But I think it's also they needed to showcase.
It needs to go out there. Eh?
They needed to.
Oh, thank you. God's love. That tights is tight, girl.
Like a Jay. Only fans. I think it's also a matter of brand recognition. There's only so many things that transcend with South African music and all of that. So, and that would have been contextual. You can't go with the newer stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a powerful song.
Do you think Johnny Clegg was the first transracial person?
I didn't expect that question. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
You don't
I'll
have
go,
to.
I'll go with no.
I'm just fucking around. But if you don't know Johnny Clegg, he was the white Zulu.
Yeah.
Ikwintu Ocha. Mm. As you know, no, he wasn't. That's white devil. Sorry. Ace Ventura reference. But if you're not old enough to remember Johnny Clegg, he's a fucking legend, man.
Go read up on Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny's the truth. Let's talk about the whites.
In terms of the hostages in the film, you asked earlier.
About Christine. Film. Do you want to talk about Christine? Not my favorite.
So she, there the twist is that she is the daughter of the Minister of Justice, who obviously government and everyone wants to get out. Yeah. And is the reason that the response to this incident is
so hectic. With Klein Crocodile.
Yes.
I love Klein Crocodile. That's what I thought for sure that Klein Crocodile was going to say the K word.
Yeah.
Either him or the bank manager.
Yes. Mm. He was very close.
Yeah, he was. Yes,
like
extremely.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
But in terms of the hostages, I honestly had no interest in any of those characters. I felt like Christine's story was... I didn't have any connection to it whatsoever.
I could do without it.
Yeah. The villains on the other hand.
Yeah.
Like Klein Crocodile.
Yeah.
And also, I guess, Arnold Vosloo was portrayed as a middle of the line, but he's an antagonist, essentially.
He's definitely an antagonist.
Even if they
anyone who was trying to uphold the status quo was an antagonist.
Exactly. And my point here is that even if they're trying to show that he was all out for peace and shit, he's still involved with like people betraying each other within that MK movement and causing the violence that 100%. Then erupted. So you can't just like...
No, I never once looked at him as sort of a protagonist in any way.
I mean, again, coming back to my line of the... You don't speak Afrikaans, but you call yourself South African.
Oh, yeah.
And when the guy tells him, do you speak Zulu? Then he just switches to another thing. It's like there's no acknowledgement of even that closed-mindedness, man.
Yeah, he was just like, come on, guys. No, stop it.
He's not violent.
Yeah,
why
stop
did
it.
He let me
I go? Like that he's second in command.
Yeah, that guy with the goofy tie.
He's also an all-star. He's a South African all-star. Fuck, man.
Is he the Gumbolt? Jacques Gumbolt. Is it him? You found it. Dion Coetzee.
Yeah.
Dion Coetzee. Captain Caprivi. No, that's from another thing.
This is the guy that used to be on Igoli.
Yes, bruh. Dion Coetzee used to be on Igoli. That's the dude.
He was and he was in Seventh Land.
Ah, Seventh Avenue, baby.
Yeah.
So he was really good. And that's also my...
I didn't know it's him. And I know this guy from growing up.
He looks
up.
Very 80s, man.
So the glasses
and the smoking. But that's my issue, because when you have a cast that is so strong, We've said this before. The ones that are not as good stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah, they really do.
And I'm sorry to say it, but Christine's, the actress who plays Christine, she wasn't as good. And Arnold Foster for me.
You feel like he was phoning
it
in.
I do feel like it. I feel like he was just like, no, oh, shit.
I think especially as the...
And he was Imhotep.
Yes, exactly. The best mummy.
Yeah, the best.
Especially if you're putting him opposite, because a lot of his scenes involve Calvin.
Yeah.
And Calvin is our most charismatic person in the entire film. 100%. And you're putting him opposite this guy who's just like, you know. Bzz.
Yeah, bzz. Exactly that. He was just static. And then, Calvin is like mooring it and ramping it up and sweating and being like, shit, I'm fucking desperate here.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no.
No violence.
But it is amazing that most of the cast they showed up.
Yeah.
Glenn Grogadol was cack, man.
Yeah. He was, even if he just comes there, with his little riding crop. Yeah. Definite Glenn Grogadol vibes.
Oh, yeah. Big Glenn Grogadol energy from that guy. Yeah. And then the Minister of Justice, his nickname is Groot Grogadol.
Yes.
But they only tell you that afterwards.
Yes.
And I thought that was cuck money. But yeah, overall, it was a fun watch, man.
Yeah, definitely. I think the tight runtime, the story that just goes, it's accessible. It's you don't have to commit too much. You can sit down and immerse yourself and just enjoy it.
And I mean, it did end on like a little Thelma and Louise situation.
Mm-hmm.
They exit the building, you then fades to black and you just hear gunshots. So like Thelma and Louise, I like to think that they made it to the other side.
Yeah. Ever hopeful you are. Eh? But also, like, I mean, kudos to the director. I think it's sticking the landing. You've put them in this corner. You can't just write them out of it. So
yeah, because one of the things that they mention is my research in the movie is getting blurred.
Mm.
In my research, they mentioned that the media, they like plastered their dead bodies and stuff in like the media and the newspaper and stuff like that to show like, you know, the black terror and this is what they want, violence and all that.
Mm.
So I'm kind of glad they didn't show that.
They didn't glorify that aspect of it at all. That's a good point. I didn't know that part, but...
I know, that's why I'm telling you this.
You are research king.
Well, king is a very strong word.
King.
More like jester. But yeah, overall, man, a lot of fun. Silverton Siege, give it a watch.
Check it out.
It's on Netflix for free. Well, no, you pay a subscription.
But unless I mean, you
can watch it at any time. Also, Jody, I wanted to ask you, do you think that Netflix is the most successful platform for South African movies to get more exposure?
I think for the exposure part, definitely.
Mm.
Like CakeNet and MultiChoice have also pumped money into movies.
But the DSTV thing is, a lot of South Africans subscribe to DSTV. But
yeah. But in terms of getting outside,
yeah.
like that's what I'm saying with exposure.
Yeah.
Netflix is a fantastic platform. I mean, they really are doing the most in terms of widely accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see how it's being promoted outside of South Africa.
Yeah.
For example. Like if I'm Netflix UK, how do people view it?
Definitely in Africa, I think they'll push it. But I don't know how they'll push it in the European and
if they're putting money into America's. It, I would hope that they are that it transcends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that eventually if things like Six Underground is getting promoted globally, why not this?
Luby Halloween.
Yes. This is comprehensively a better film. 100%. Than those
100%. With a fraction of the budget.
Exactly. So there's nothing that should stop it from being pushed as hard.
Oh, wait. You heard it here first. Jody thinks Netflix is the best streaming service.
For South African content. By far.
No caveats, Jody.
No caveats. They say post caveat.
Do you have any shout outs?
No.
Damn it.
Well, we do have one. We can shout out the journalist who did our article.
Ah, Keisha Africa. Yeah, if you guys don't know or don't follow us or a new listener, Keisha Africa, we were featured in her, what do you call it?
Also Africa Month related segment.
Yeah, it's dedicated to Keisha Africa.
Yeah.
Africa Month.
The whole thing is about the month of May. it's within the entertainment section of the news.
Yeah, she highlights certain podcasts from time to time, and we were chosen this time. And
yes.
It was dope talking to her and stuff, and actually seeing, you know, our actual words in black and white.
Yeah.
So you can check it out on IOL and the weekend August, which you missed.
Yes.
Because it was last week.
It's already gone.
Yeah.
It might be in your fireplace.
I do have a copy. I think my mother laminated one.
Yeah, we're going to frame ours. We'll laminate the link. You
can't come in the, yeah, we'll come laminate the link it. And you can check it, or we'll make like a QR code or something.
Yeah.
Cool. If anyone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
They would do it on Instagram, of course.
Of course.
Bicycle Brassel Podcast on Instagram, as well as TikTok. We'll be putting up some more content on TikTok shortly.
Yeah, man. And, you know, stay safe out there. Don't avoid Volkskas Bank.
Yes, by all means. Currently trading as APSA.
Oh, is that out? That actually fucking crossed my mind. Like, which bank did this become? Yeah. Because, you know, they must evolve.
Pretty sure it became APSA.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah, avoid it.
Avoid Volkskas. And stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Russ.